Scripture lesson for today starts begins in John chapter 6, verses 53 through 58. And one of these days I'll actually say it correctly. John 6, 53 through 58. So hear now the words of Christ. So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning I want to ask you a question. If you had to choose only one dish for the rest of your life, what would you choose? What food would you choose? Now, I know as kids, it's always pizza or chicken nuggets, okay? But and that may still be your answer, all right? But what would you choose? Hamburgers, okay. Good choice. Good song. I'm sorry? Spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Tacos. Tacos, yeah. Turkey and dressing. I heard a chicken fried steak. You really like Thanksgiving month. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Navy beans. Okay. A much simpler meal. Now, none of the kids pick that one, right? Beans end up being an acquired, not a required, well, I guess, depending on who your parent is, an acquired taste as you get older. Anybody else want to share? What would you have?
Vegetable soup.
Another healthy, some of these people have the good school answers, right? Like healthy stuff like beans and vegetable soup, right? The rest of us are like, give us the artery clogging stuff. Steak, there we go. That's a good choice. So I'll tell you what mine would be. And all of these are good, right? I haven't heard one I don't like, okay? There's some I definitely wouldn't choose, okay? But what I would choose, and I'll tell you why, I would choose burritos. And the reason I would choose burritos is because you can get all kinds of variety in a burrito, right? You know, it's kind of like a pizza, right? Unless you're one of these purists where there's only certain things can go on a pizza, right? You can put anything on a pizza as long as it's on that pizza dough, right? So you could have a Hawaiian pizza with pineapples on it. You could have a Mexican pizza with Mexican food. You get this idea, right? Same kind of idea with a burrito. A burrito is great because you can put anything in it. I even went to, when we were in San Diego years ago, my wife and I, we went to a place where you got a burrito. And first of all, it was like as big as your head. Okay, it was humongous. But in it had shrimp and steak and chicken and rice and beans and peppers and all this stuff and French fries and other stuff, right? It had all kinds of stuff in it. And I was like, man, this is a whole meal just in one little wrapper, right? Like that to me is the perfect ideal of what you know, if I had to eat only one thing for the rest of my life, that's what it would be, right? And I think most of us tend to choose something that makes us comfortable, something that makes us happy, right? If you picked, you know, country style steak, right? Steak and gravy, isn't that what you said? Chicken fried steak and gravy. Or turkey and dressing. You picked that probably because you ate it growing up. You just really are a big fan of it, right? Yeah, it gives the reason we pick the things that we pick, it has positive connotations for us. It makes us think about good times. It makes us think about things that we've shared around those meals, right? And I don't mean to harp on the turkey and dressing, but you think about that one. Think about how many times you've gathered with family around the table to eat those types of food, right? What is it that you like about it is not just the taste, but it's the memories and it's the experience, right? It's those people who you once gathered around the table with, but no longer gather around the table with, right? It's remembering those wonderful conversations. It's remembering going out in the backyard and playing and the kids at the card table and the adults at the big table, right? Watching football, whatever it is, right? We're coming up on Thanksgiving and you remember all those things that you do and all that is tied up in the memory of the food, right? So I want you to think about that idea of what if you could have only one type of food, right? We all picked something, well, most of us picked something that was maybe we don't have all the time. Now, you could have navy beans all the time, right? Or vegetable soup. But if you had burritos all the time, that'd be a bad idea, probably. Digestive-wise and everything else, okay? But the thing is, when we think about the things we like to eat, oftentimes, have you ever found yourself in this situation? You come home from work, you're tired, it's been a rough day, somebody's been on your case. You get home, your significant other is sitting there, they hadn't done anything yet, and they say, "What are we having for dinner?" Well, we're going to have whatever I can find in the fridge, right? Hopefully we got some leftovers, or maybe we're getting McDonald's. Now, are you excited about McDonald's? Bailey and the kids can't answer this one. They are. The rest of us aren't, though, right? Until November 1st. Then I'm excited because of the McRib. We're not excited about those things. There are plenty of meals, right? Think about how many times it's time to eat, and you're just like, I need something in my mouth, right? I don't care what it is, as long as it keeps me alive, right? You're tired, you just got to get something. And oftentimes, that's what happens with the things that we put into our body, right? It's, I'm in a hurry, I got to get here, I got to get there, I'm going to grab whatever I can, and it doesn't matter whether it's good for my body, it doesn't matter if it's good for my mind and all that kind of stuff, right? We're in a rush. And food can be really great, and it can be really bad for us, right? It can be really bad for us in a physical way, but it can also be really bad for us like the next day, right? This is where I talk about burritos in the negative sense, okay? I like to have them with all the spice and all the peppers and all this kind of stuff, and usually I'm fine, but every once in a while, right? Too many jalapenos, right? Somebody substituted those jalapenos for some habaneros or something like that. And that hot sauce that I thought wasn't so bad when I put it on my finger, when I put a whole bunch of it on there, it was so bad, right? And then I'm paying the price for it later. What we choose to put into our bodies has an impact on us, right? Anybody who's ever had to have a diet change because of diabetes or something like that, you're well aware of it, right? What you can have and what you can't have, or what you can now only have in moderation. What we put into our bodies matters. And it's the same way with Jesus talking here. He's talking about communion, but he's they're not understanding what he's saying, right? The previous verse says, how can this man give us his flesh to eat, right? Some dude comes up to you. Now, we have the language of communion, okay? So we're used to it. We hear Jesus saying, take my flesh and my blood. But what if you hadn't heard all that? And some guy says, hey, eat this, it's my flesh. Drink this, it's my blood. Might that come off a little strange to you? Right? You see, if somebody comes and gives you some kind of food and they just say, hey, eat it, what's your first reaction? They show up at your house and say, try this. Maybe it depends on who's giving it to you, right? But you might be a little skeptical. Okay, is it good? Is it going to make me sick? Like, what is it? What's it? Is it something you know I'm going to hate? Is it anchovy paste? Whatever, you know, I don't know what it is. You don't know what they're handing you. And Jesus says, yep, you know what? If you don't eat my body and drink my blood, then you don't have any part with me. That's kind of escalating quickly for Mr. Jesus right there, right? This would be a good Halloween scripture if we come at it from a thought process of not knowing what communion is, right? I mean, and these people didn't. They're like, this dude is telling us we've got to eat his flesh, and thank God he brings out a piece of bread, right? Because they're thinking, oh my goodness, this is, what have I got myself into, right? But Jesus, obviously, he's making a spiritual connection between the things that we put into our body and the things that go into our souls. How long can you go without food? I don't know scientifically, but you can go a few days, right? You know, if you go too long, though, stuff starts to shut down, right? How long can you go without something to drink? Maybe a day? Maybe. And that's if you started out really, really hydrated before. You see, this food and water, food and drink, are such an integral part of our lives that Jesus takes that and says, you know how you wake up in the morning thinking about what you're going to eat? Okay, now I don't know. At least somebody else must do that, okay? I do that. And I wake up in the morning, I'm like, do I want something for breakfast? Am I going to wait until I eat in the cafeteria at school? What am I going to do? You know, that kind of thing. And then when I get and eat lunch, what do I start thinking about? What am I going to have for dinner? Right? You see, the things that go into our body take up a disproportionate amount of our thought process. Okay? And Jesus says, you know how much thought you put into the food that goes on your plate? Imagine how much more important it is what heads into your soul, what heads into your heart. And Jesus tells the people, look, now he doesn't go into all this depth. But if Jesus is saying you can eat all this stuff and I'll be in you and you'll be in me, what happens if we choose to eat other things for our souls and for our hearts? It's not just Jesus' body that we can take in, right? It's all kinds of other junk food from the world that we can take in, right? I know I've already told y'all about my Oreo addiction, but you know, there's all kinds of other things that are like spiritual Oreos, right? We can find our worth, our self-worth in our sports teams. We can, right? I mean, yesterday was a tough day for some folks, right? It was almost a tough day for Clemson fans, right? But it wasn't. It was almost a tough day for South Carolina fans. I now pay attention to those games. I didn't used to, but now I do. Because all the people at work pay attention to it. But, you know, how often have you found yourself, and not everybody is addicted to this particular thing, but how often have you found yourself just in the dumps for a couple days because the team that you pulled for didn't win a game, right? I found myself doing that over Carolina basketball, and I was like, man, this is not healthy, right? Why am I letting, you know, something played by, like, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds have this much effect on me? This is ridiculous, right? But if it's not sports for you, maybe it's politics, right? You see somebody on the TV and they say something you disagree with, or you hear that there's a bill in the Senate or the Congress that you don't agree with, and your blood pressure goes up and you're mad and you're firing off letters and you're ready to disown people from your family because they said the wrong thing, right? We do these things and we've taken it in to such an extent that it's almost like it's our spiritual food. There are a million different things we can substitute for Christ. But the problem is, they're always going to let us down. Right? Eventually, even my beloved Carolina basketball has a down year, right? And then all that emotional investment and spiritual stuff I've thrown into that is wasted. Eventually, that political party or candidate that you've invested so much in is going to let you down because they're human. Doesn't matter what party they're a part of. They're going to mess up. They're going to do something you disagree with. They're going to do something wrong. And all that energy that you put into it's going to be gone. And Jesus says, but you don't have to eat that stuff. You can have my flesh and my blood. His flesh and blood that we can be reminded of through Holy Communion. And that we can go forth into the world with that little bit of Jesus in us. I don't know about you, but that really is it really makes me feel good to know that I can have some of Jesus in me, right? That I can say, hey, I know that tomorrow's going to be tough. I know that charge conference is coming up, which, by the way, the DS... maybe she'll watch. Didn't do me any favors because that next week is trustees on campus. She didn't ask me, but I wish she had. So you know, that's not going to be a fun week for me. You know, all this stuff all at the same time. And I think, you know what? Only way I get through those sorts of things is if my heart and my soul is in Christ, right? Those of you who have dealt with sickness or children in the hospital, right? The only way that you can get through these times is because Christ abides in you and you abide in Christ. This has been a year and a half, almost 2 years now, where everybody has discovered that we can't get through a day at home without Jesus, right? There maybe have been times in our lives where we thought, well, you know, I only need Jesus when things are bad, or I only need Jesus when I'm struggling. But now we know that even when we're in our sweatpants and everything's on the computer, we still need Jesus because the world is tough. And in a sense, that's been a bit of a blessing to remind us that no matter what's going on in our lives, that we need that spiritual food, that we need that spiritual drink. And the glory of it is that it is provided for us through Jesus, who gave his body and his blood on the cross. Amen? What a wonderful thing that Jesus did for us that is reminded, that we are reminded of every time we gather around this table. And even though it may not taste as good as the steak or the turkey and dressing or the kidney beans, it is the wonderful food that gives us the opportunity to be able to continue on this life. So as we go to the table today, I hope that you'll come expecting a wonderful blessing, knowing that not only are you just eating some bread and drinking some juice, but that you're taking Christ into your heart, into your soul, that the blood that pumps within your veins is not just yours, but it's the blood of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, that your body is not just our flesh and our bone that sometimes we look at and we think it's not good enough, right? But that it shares importance with the body of Christ. That our whole being, our body, mind, soul, rests in Christ. May we abide in Christ, remain in Christ this week with the reminder of communion, but always remembering that Jesus is there outside, inside, within us, without us, everywhere and in all. Amen? Amen. Amen.